Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. As many of you know, I've been very interested in how we are being censored, how the American people are being censored on the internet, how the things when we Google something or go to a search engine, what are we finding on the internet? In that process, I came across the research of Dr. Robert Epstein. Dr. Epstein is an American psychologist, a professor, an author, and a journalist. He earned his PhD in psychology from Harvard University, and he was editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. Currently, Dr. Epstein is located in the San Diego area, doing some very interesting work. And Dr. Epstein, welcome to the show. And what I'd like to do is just get so the audience learns a little bit about you and your background and how you went from psychology into looking at how people are being censored on the internet.
Well, sure. Well, first of all, psychologists for many, many decades now have been studying influence. So it's not too strange for a psychologist to become interested in influence on the internet, in particular new forms of influence. In my case, I was, like the rest of us, I was just a naive Google user, over the years. And then, but early 2012, I got notifications from Google saying my website was hacked. I thought that was odd that I was being notified by a private company and not by, a government agency or some nonprofit. Started looking at Google more carefully, and I started doing controlled, randomized studies on new forms of influence that Google has available to it to shift people's opinions, their attitudes, so, their beliefs, their purchases, and even their votes.
So Dr. Epstein, going back to that 2012 incident with Google, what was there something wrong with your website? Was there something illegal on your website? How did they even come across to try to say something was wrong? What was the issue?
My website, like practically every other website out there, had been hacked. It was a very minor hack. Again, I was curious about why Google was notifying me and not someone else. And then there were other things, too, that caught my eye, because Google was blocking access to my website. And they weren't doing that just through their search engine or through their browser, which is called Chrome. But somehow they were blocking access through Firefox, which is owned by a nonprofit. It's another browser owned by a nonprofit, even through Apple's a browser, which is called Safari. And I thought, how could one company's influence, spread so far? I also learned they had no customer service department, which I thought was very strange. So the point is, I just got more curious about the company. And over the years, I've become more and more concerned as I've learned more about how they do business.
Okay, so take us through. So that's 2012. You're doing research on this. And then what is kind of the next step in the chronology of how you become more concerned about what's happening on these search engines?
Well, the next step was in early 2013, I began a line of research I've continued to this day, and I made a discovery. I published this in 2015 in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And there's a name for this discovery. It's called SEM, S-E-M-E, or the Search Engine Manipulation Effect. Basically, I learned that if Google search results favor one candidate over another, and that means if you click on a high-ranking search result and it takes you to a website that makes one candidate look a lot better than the other candidate, that shifts votes and opinions among people who are undecided. And I thought this would be a small effect when I discovered it, but at this point I've done dozens of experiments with tens of thousands of people in multiple countries covering five national elections, and it's not a small effect. It is one of the largest effects ever discovered in the behavioral sciences. And the report I published on that, the initial report, has been accessed or downloaded from the website of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences more than 200,000 times And that's extremely unusual for a scientific study. The point is, I discovered that Google has this incredible power to shift votes and opinions on anything, it turns out, without people knowing that they're being influenced, number one, and number two, without leaving a paper trail for authorities to track. They can literally easily produce shifts among undecided people of 20% or more, up to 80% in some demographic groups, with no one knowing they're being influenced. That's tremendous power.
So I think we all know that, you know, even if you're a junior novice on the internet and you're just typing something into your search engine bar and you don't even know what search engine you're using, but can you walk us through maybe the top two or three examples of what a normal person who's just going on typing something in, and then how those results get ranked? So what's happening there? Like, where one story that's maybe more negative on an issue that you care about versus you know, another side of an issue, so that, you know, people are, you know, essentially being swayed just by the information that's available to them.
Well, if you type in something like immigration or building a wall, you are immediately shown a list of search results. In fact, even as you're typing, by the way, you're shown suggestions that they start to flash as you type. Those search suggestions I've also studied, and they are extremely powerful in shifting opinions without people knowing. I've shown in another line of research that while someone is typing a search term and those search suggestions are being flashed at you, just by manipulating the search suggestions, I can turn a 50-50 split among undecided voters into a 90-10 split, with no one having the slightest idea that they're being influenced. But anyway, let's just say that you've finished your search term and down below you've got some search results. Well, people tend to trust what's higher in the list. 50% of all clicks go to the top two items. 95% of all clicks go on that first page of search results. So the point is, people trust what's higher and they tend to click much higher. And if you click up high on the list on you know, some result that Google has shown you that's about immigration or about Donald Trump or about any issue at all, if you're now taken to a web page that has a certain point of view, well, guess what? If for people who are undecided, that tends to shift their thinking. People trust those search results so much because they trust Google and they think that, you know, this is from a computer, it's from an algorithm, so it must be objective. People trust those search results so much that when they click high on that list, they tend to believe what they're reading. So Google has, you know, a tremendous power to favor one perspective or another, or one candidate or another, and it turns out they actually use that power for their own ends.
So, are there certain websites or search engines that are better? So, I know that a lot of people are going to use DuckDuckGo now because supposedly they don't track you and they don't sell that information. I have no idea if that's the truth or not, but that's at least the word on the street. Have you looked at the different search engines to see if there's a difference?
Of course. In fact, I've done two national monitoring studies at this point. The last one got written up in Breitbart in the Epic Times, made front page of the LA Times. That was just a few months ago. So I've actually done monitoring to see what kind of material Google, Bing, and Yahoo are showing people when people are conducting election-related searches. So I've done this in 2016 and 2018. 2018, I preserved 47,000 election-related searches and about 400,000 web pages to which the search results linked. And so for those elections, yes, I've done a comparison of Google and the other search engines to see if there's a difference. Google shows search results that favor Democrats In 2016, they showed search results that favored Hillary Clinton, by the way, whom I supported because I'm not a conservative myself. But
well, I wasn't going to tell the audience that maybe until the end because I want to see if you offered that up. But yeah, this is what's fascinating is that you know you voted for Hillary Clinton and yet you're bringing up an issue that not only is important to conservatives who are being hurt by this, but every American should really care about this, is the internet going to be a free and open public square?
Well, the internet is definitely not, because 92% of all search around the world is done on one search engine, which is Google. You mentioned DuckDuckGo as an alternative, which doesn't track people. DuckDuckGo has about 1% of the share of search, so it has no impact on society. Right. Google has a tremendous impact on people's opinions and thinking and their votes in every country in the world. That's a huge difference, and Google also tracks every single search. So they are really a surveillance platform. These days, on my Twitter feed, I actually call Google GSA, which stands for Google Surveillance and Advertising, because Google is actually just a surveillance company. Every single tool that we use from Google is just a surveillance platform.
I assume Google's not going to be offering you a contract anytime soon to consult for them.
the head of Google Search actually published a long article criticizing me and trying to criticize my research, although he didn't really mention my research very much because it's hard to criticize my research. It's very carefully done. But when the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, testified before Congress December 2018, that whole session opened with the chair talking about my research, and then later in the session, Pichai, the head of Google, was criticizing my research quite openly, so there was quite a discussion about it. So, yeah, Google is very much aware of my findings. My research findings, which are, still I'm finding more and more as the months go by, and they're concerned, and I'm extremely concerned, and we should all be concerned, no matter what our politics are, about three big threats that Google poses to democracy and to human autonomy. One is the surveillance occurring at a scale that people don't have any awareness of. And second is the censorship, because Google decides what you see and what you don't see. And that's true for people around the world, not just for Americans, people around the world. And third, the area that's most scary, which is where I've made a lot of my discoveries, is manipulation. Google has the ability to manipulate our thinking, our purchases, and our votes on a massive scale with no one knowing that they're doing it and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
So, Dr. Epstein, this is very fascinating work, and I think you've really outlined the problem and the concern really well, and I want to have you back on next week so that we can get into the solutions and maybe talk more about some of the other companies that are out there, what I call the tech oligarchs. But for those listeners this week that want to get a hold of you, where can they find your research at? Do you have a website or do you have a Twitter handle that you use? Because we know don't put your name into Google because that may not get the right results.
Well, you should never use Google.com, ever, ever, ever. You should use either DuckDuckGo if you like that, or a much better search engine is called StartPage. Start like the opposite of stop. StartPage.com gives you access to Google's fantastic index of information, but without tracking. So if you go to startpage.com and you just type my name in, that'll take you to my personal website, which is drrobertepstein.com, or to aibrt.org. That's the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. That's where I do my research. And there, yeah, you can get lots and lots of information about the research I do and a lot of the articles that I've written.
Thank you, Dr. Epstein. I appreciate everybody listening. Until next week, this is Devin Nunes.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com. Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days.
First trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.